Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 429, the first stanza. With all my heart will I record thy praise, O Lord, and exaltation before the gods, with joyful song will I prolong my adoration. And what follows, Psalter 429, the first stanza. Portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Romans 12. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, as so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, and not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal on this Lord's day, it has pleased thee to gather us and our children within the walls of thy house, under thy word and eternal testimony, may it please thee to grant that place of that Canaanitish woman of whom we have heard in this morning, and where she received that blessed place, falling at thy feet, and with the prayer for mercy, that thou would remember her and her dear little daughter. Lord, then it is needful that thou fillest our hearts when by renewal we attempt with our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee with profound reverence and deep humility, with impressions that in thee we live, we move, and have our being. And when thou withdrawest thy upholding hand, then we are no more. Then also in this day, then thy mercies have been multiplied, also the reasons for thanksgiving. Ah, Lord, to that end, do grant thy Holy Spirit to receive a humble and a broken heart under all thy mercies, and with that vehement desire that thy great and worthy name may be praised in us and by us. To that end, we beg of thee by renewal a far rich blessing upon thy holy word. The prophet of old has declared, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, as saith the Lord of hosts. Ah, Lord, do then bless thy holy word in this hour for the conversion of boys and girls, our youth, the middle-aged, and the elderly ones. Oh, may it please thee to show them what a terrible thing it is to be an unconverted sinner under thy wrath on that broad way leading to hell. Lord, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Wilt thou spare us and our children, that we build not upon sandy foundations? And wilt thou remember thy Zion? Oh, how jealous they can be of that Canaanitish woman, with her sincerity, with her need, with her faith, with her pleading, but also upon the answer and the deliverance she has experienced. Lord, thou knowest also how thy people have come up to thy house in this evening hour. Thou hast a people upon the earth that learns more and more that it is all of grace, that it is given good, and what comes from above that shall return unto thee. Thou knowest how thy true Zion, how they can be so harassed by the devil, oppressed by temptations, and troubled with the body of sin. Oh, then the necessity of the threefold office of thy dear Son to be their prophet, their priest and king. Lord, do richly bless the means of grace. Bless the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end, to instruct their children in the aforesaid doctrine. Do bless the labors in the church. Who is sufficient unto these things? Do continue to remember and help the consistory. Wilt thou grant many Aaron's and hers? And do remember our Christian school. Continue to grant traveling mercies. Remember all those that labor therein. And when thy word may daily be opened and explained, accompanied with prayer, that thy richest blessing may rest upon it for instructor and for the students. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. The established churches, may it please thee to grant more labors for thy vineyard and teachers for our Christian schools. Oh, do continue to uphold, and thou shalt uphold, the persecuted church. Thou hast even called them blessed in thy holy word. Oh, that under those ways of trials, that they may experience that the King reigneth, that he hath everything in his hand, and that the enemy can do no more than he is permitted by the King. We commend unto thee the beloved for the Father's sake. May the veil hastily be removed. We commend unto thee mission work, also our mission field, thy servant, the team, the families, at all awaits for thy blessing. We commend unto thee Bible translators. Bless thy word that may be sent into the prisons. Lord, remember land and country. Remember our government federally, provincially, and locally. May it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit in the midst of our community. We remember the sick and the afflicted. O Lord, do remember the father that is called to undergo surgery in the day of tomorrow. wilt thou go with him. May the means be blessed, the calling sanctified. Remember all his loved ones. Remember the handicapped daughter who remaineth in the hospital. The concerns and the difficulties, they are great. They are manifold. Wilt thou help the physicians? And may the callings, thou hast spoken so often, my daughter, give me thy heart. May the callings be sanctified. We remember all those that are under the physician's care with fears and with worries in special ways. Remember the crosses. Remember the burdens. Remember the difficulties of the body and those that struggle with weakness of mind. When it becomes too much, may they be given to open thy word and tell thee everything, and pray with that Canaanitish woman, Lord, have mercy upon me. We commend unto thee widowers, widows, those that have brought children and dear ones to the cemetery. Oh, do continue to uphold and to strengthen, and teach us all to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We remember all the elderly. We commend unto thee our Bethesda, the residents, and all those that care for them. Do bless and remember the family circles. May love abound, and may thy word exert its blessed influence upon young and old. Do remember those that struggle with addictions and temptations. May the means be used. May the prayers be multiplied. Grant prayer for one another. Continue to supply the daily bread for the family circles. Remember man and beast in the winter season. And now, Lord, by renewal, then we humbly ask of thee that thou may remember and that thou may help us. And may thy word go forth with power divine. May it fall by thy grace, by thy spirit, and well-prepared earth hearts. And that is the work of the Spirit. Lord, do remember everything that we forget. Forget it not. Bless what stands in need of thy blessing. And everything stands in need of thy blessing, with profound impressions, undeserved, ascend away. But, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and may the end of the service be that thy kingdom may come, and that thy praise may reach up to the heavens. By mortal and sinful man, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 374, the five stanzas. Oh, praise ye the name of Jehovah. Proclaim ye his glory abroad. O praise him, ye servants appointed, to stand in the house of our God. And what follows, Psalter 374, the five stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12, the question and answer 32. But why art thou called a Christian? Answer, because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. Lord's Day 12, question and answer 32 speaks of the Christian with their threefold office, with four thoughts. In the first place, their anointing. Secondly, to be prophets. Thirdly, to be priests. And in the fourth place, to be kings. The Christian with their threefold office, their anointing, to be prophets, to be priests, and to be kings. Beloved congregation, the last time we have considered the name of Christ. And then, children, you can remember that that name means anointed, and that Christ was anointed. He was appointed already from eternity to those three offices according to both natures, but in the fullness of time, and then he was qualified, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure to the threefold office of prophet, a priest, and king. And the Lord has a people upon the earth where those three offices are so necessary and so precious continually. And now in this Lord's Day, and not completely different from Lord's Day 11, when the instructors have spoken concerning the precious name of Jesus, then in the second question and answer, then they have described, based upon the scriptures, how that name Jesus is experienced, that he is a full and that he is a perfect Savior for the chiefest of sinners. And Lord's Day number 12, after the instructors have explained the threefold office of the mediator, then they have added a question concerning the naming of the church. And then there is asked in question 32, but why art thou called a Christian? Thus that word thou, that comes personally to every boy and girl and to every man and woman. But now in that question, then there is not written by But why art thou a Christian with a small c, but it is a capital C? And not to minimize the great blessing of being under the external administration of the covenant, where it pleases the Lord to especially gather, defend, and preserve His church. And Balaam in Numbers 24, verse 5, when he saw that blessed people separated and camped around the tabernacle, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. But to be a Christian with a small capital, that is too short to appear before our Maker. And now concerning that name Christian, then of course there are great multitudes in our day when that question is asked on a census, that they shall say yes. But perhaps once in church, two times a year, perhaps Easter in Christian, and word cannot truly be seen that they are a Christian. But why art thou called a Christian, and not only by name, but revealed, evident in our life, experienced in our heart, and not only here and there, but continually? Does not say in our question, why art thou sometimes a Christian, but it implies that we always must be a Christian. When we think in nature, then there are animals, our boys and girls know it, that there are animals that change their color. When we think of a hare, then in the winter they are white, and in the summer they are brown. And a hare is now a picture of Christians that intermingle, associate unnecessarily too much with the world, and then it shall have its influence. We even read of an Abram when he has went down into Egypt, that he has received a Hagar, and of the children of Israel in bondage in Egypt, when they were delivered, they have made a golden calf. But there are also animals, different kinds, different lizards, chameleons. Then they tell us that those little lizards, depending upon the circumstances, the one moment when they are among dead branches, they are brown, and when they come among green vegetation, then they immediately turn green. That is a picture of Christians, that are Christians or act as Christians in certain company, under certain circumstances, perhaps still on the Sabbath day, but under other company, other circumstances, and then it cannot be seen that they are a Christian. And then we can understand that the name of the Lord is not honored, but that the name of the Lord is blasphemed. And therefore the need of the church to continually search the scriptures prayerfully, and that we may walk accordingly. But now in our Lord's day, it goes about a Christian with a capital C, and that is the Church of God that has been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. They have become new creatures by Christ Jesus. And concerning that name Christian, then we find it three times in the Bible. First in Acts 11, verse 26, a word is written that the Christians, they were first called Christians in Antioch, possible in the name of ridicule and mockery, but it has become an honorable name. And then that solemn text in Acts 26, verse 28, when King Agrippa has heard the preaching of Paul, and Paul has declared how the Lord has stopped and arrested him by his free and sovereign grace, how he has become a preacher of Jesus Christ, and then it has made indeed impression upon King Agrippa. And then he has said, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. But then Paul has declared that it must not only need be almost, but we need to become a full Christian. Maybe that has happened in our life too, that we receive profound impressions, busy with the things of the Lord, almost a Christian, but perhaps at the moment all gone. Oh, when there are such people, then do beg the Lord that he may return with those impressions, that he may work savingly in your hearts, and that you may become a Christian, a member of the living church of the living King by true saving faith. And then thirdly, in 1 Peter 4, verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. But why art thou called a Christian? The name Christian has Christ in it. That question was not asked concerning Jesus, because the church is no part in their salvation. Although the Jesuits from the Roman Catholic, they have taken part of that name upon themselves, but they do not resemble, they have become bitter persecutors of the Church of Jesus Christ. When we read, but why art thou called a Christian, then it is the same in a marriage. Then the bride takes upon her the name of the bridegroom. And so the Christian may take that name derived from Christ. And then the answer, because I am a member of Christ by faith. And that faith, that is the bond that joins the sinner to Christ, that he may become a Christian. And when we read of that bond, when we think of John 15, then there is spoken of branches that were engrafted, but also other branches that had a connection, we would say beside, but that were not engrafted in the true vine, and therefore not true Christians. because I am a member of Christ by faith. And then the instructors, they have not mentioned whether it was little faith or very strong faith. They are all members of Christ by the exercise of faith. And this morning we have heard of that Canaanitish woman, of that refuge-taking faith. And then further, and thus am partaker of his anointing. Christ is the head. He has received that anointing without measure in the full degree. And then that anointing may also flow upon the body of Christ, the different members. We have heard it out of Romans 12. And that faith that speaks of that blessed connection, that blessed bond between the head and between the body. Then, of course, it is necessary that the body is healthy, that the body is not paralyzed, and what reasons there can be in the life of the Christian that it is not as it ought to be. And now concerning that anointing, then in paradise, then the Lord has created Adam and Eve in his image, holy as the knowledge in the prophetical office, righteous concerning the priestly office, and holiness concerning the kingly office. And then they were perfect prophets, priests, and kings. But in that covenant of works, when there would be that disobedience, then they would lose those three offices. But now in the covenant of grace, then Christ, by his perfect work, then he is merited and he restores those threefold offices to his people. But then here below, it is only in part, and when they are taken into eternal glory, then it shall be in perfection. In the covenant of grace, in the covenant of works, when our covenant head would take of that forbidden fruit, then they would lose that image and also that threefold office. But now in the covenant of grace, then Christ he grants unto his children by his Spirit those three offices, and they can never be lost. Because Christ has declared unto his church in John 10 verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and therefore no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Thus in the state of rectitude, then they were Adam and Eve, confessing prophets, sacrificing priests, and ruling kings. But now through our deep fall, then we have become dishonoring prophets, selfish priests, and proud kings. But now by the Holy Spirit, the instructors have stated it, and thus am partaker of his anointing to a threefold office. Our second thought, to be prophets. And then we read that so I may confess his name. Does not force Psalm 110 verse 3 a willing people in the day of his power. And that now becomes the desire through that anointing that they become prophets and that the name of the Lord may be highly extolled and that all creatures, that young and old, that they may be given to worship and bow before the King of Kings. That so I may confess his name. What is then necessary for those prophets? That in the first place, that they are instructed themselves. Oh, that blessed place at the feet of the great prophet, that we may be instructed concerning what is necessary, concerning that only comfort to live and die happily. Oh, to be instructed by the prophet who the Lord is who we are, and to that end to be brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And then in the second place, oh, what a riddles and what a mysteries there can be, and how silent that people can be. And it is necessary that their silence becomes their guilt. Oh, only think of a Peter. Oh, a Peter that has tasted of the precious things of the Lord. But boys and girls, you know what has taken place in the hall of Caiaphas. Instead of confessing his precious master, then he has denied that he knew him not. Oh, concerning the three offices of the church, then the true child of God, then they need that great office bearer, also as their prophet, because they read in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is there is liberty. Ah, the child of God learns that it all must come from above. Then further, then to be a hand and a foot to one another. What beautiful examples we have of the prophetical office of the true Christian. And that, boys and girls, not only older people, not only middle-aged, not only young people, but even little children. Oh, think of that little maid that has been taken captive by the Syrians. But then she was given to speak to her mistress of the great God of Israel. Oh, that God, if they would go to the prophet, and they would, then the God of Israel could heal Naaman. Oh, we have many more examples. A few weeks ago, we have read together of John 1. Think of Andrew. He has found his brother Peter. And if Philip has found Nathanael, he has declared, we have found the Messiah. Then we see the prophetical office of the church that they are given to teach. Oh, think of the Samaritan woman. Oh, then we think of office bearers. We think of teachers. We think of fathers and mothers. Then in the next place, they are prophets by their example. In Acts 4 verse 13, I read, when Peter and John were brought before the council, that they perceived that they had been with Jesus. And Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, the verses 13 through 16, to be the salt and the light of the earth. Also prophets, in the way of warning and admonishing, that we admonish our fellow traveler against their ruin. And now the need concerning that prophetical office, concerning this name, to confess it, then different things are necessary. Then in the first place, to know the name. In the second place, to love that name. Oh, the bride has declared that his name was his ointment poured forth. Therefore the virgins love thee. In the fourth place, to become jealous of that name, that it is not misused. Jealous for the honor of that name. And then to be given to confess, in the first place, who he is. In the second place, what he has done. In the third place, what he is doing. Then it goes the best, the easiest, when it is fresh, when it is new. And in the fourth place, what he shall continue to do. Concerning that prophetical office, when we think of the high priest of the Old Testament, then at the bottom of the blue coat, then there were bells and there were fruits. Thus that priest was heard, but that priest was also seen. Those golden bells, they were heard when he walked, and those golden fruits could be seen. And we also read in Numbers 15, verse 38, concerning the Old Testament church, that at the bottom of their garments, there was to be a blue fringe. And when the people would look upon that fringe, then they were to remember the law, what the Lord had commanded the children of Israel. Oh, that was the hem of the garment. Because for the Israelites, they needed to confess with that blue fringe that they were breakers, transgressors of the law. But the Holy Jesus, with that hem, he has kept the law perfectly. That woman with the issue of blood, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Let us first sing together of Psalter 367, the stanzas 4 and 5. Thou, the Lord, hast chosen Zion. Thou hast ever loved her well. This my resting place forever. Here thou sayest, I choose to dwell. And what follows, Psalter 367, the stanzas 4 and 5. Thank you. the Christian with their threefold office, their anointing to be prophets, and then if it is right in the life of the true child of God, then concerning question and answer 32, then it must bring him to question and answer 31. Because concerning that prophetical office, then the church experiences how ignorant they are, and they need continually to be taught by the great prophet, and concerning that prophetical office, and then how guilty they are, many times so silent when they should speak, speaking when they should be silent, and then a blessing when it may bring him to that priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he is satisfied for all the sins of his people, but also concerning that prophetical office, to need Christ as King, because there can be much persecution, fearing the frowns of men, coveting their smiles, that we speak not as we ought, or even as a Peter, that we are given to deny. Our third thought, to be priests. And then the instructors have added, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him. And then the instructors have immediately made plain that concerning the priestly office of believers, it can never be to merit anything, but it is only a sacrifice and an offering of thanksgiving. And that must be the heart, do we not read in Psalm 51, verse 17, that the sacrifices of a broken and contrite heart are pleasing to the Lord. And therefore I read in Proverbs 23, verse 26, my son, give me thy heart. Christianity, that is a matter of the heart that reveals itself in the outward deportment. And concerning that sacrificing, we have read it together out of Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, thus not of force sacrificing, but by the love and mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thus it speaks of living sacrifices in the Old Testament. Then her children know it. Then an Israelite may not bring to the tabernacle or to the temple a dead animal. It must be a living animal. May not be a wild animal. May not be a sick animal. It was an animal that was at least 7 days old, thus owned a connection with it. And what else? It must be a clean animal, and it must be an animal without blemish. And so in the Word of God, the calling for the Christian to bring, oh, think of an Abel, boys and girls, you know the history, that in Genesis 4, that an Abel has sought out the best of the flock. And now concerning those words, present in a theoros, then it means to donate, to hand over, and the word sacrifice, to surrender, to relinquish, and to give up, to sacrifice, present myself a living sacrifice, and that includes our all, our time, our talents, our goods, the Sabbath day. And how must that sacrifice now be brought? It must be brought willingly. Oh, when we love someone, then we love to give something very special. It must be cheerfully. It must be rejoicingly. Do we not read in Acts 5, verse 41, concerning the apostles, when they were brought before the rulers of the Jews, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name? And in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that includes the mortification of the old man. Also, as we read in Hebrews 12, the sin which does so easily beset us. What a strife and what a warfare. And then to that end, also concerning that priestly office of the Christian, to be given to need Christ in his threefold office. But concerning the Christian, we have heard of the name Christ concerning that priestly office, that he makes continual intercession. And so the true, the living Christian, he is called to intercede. The words prayer and intercession, they are closely related. But that word intercession, that especially refers prayers for our fellow man, than the Canaanitish woman. We have heard it. She has come with the great need of her daughter, fell at the feet of Jesus, was such a true and such a real prayer for the welfare of her daughter. And what precious examples we have in the scriptures. Oh, Genesis 18. Abraham. Lord has revealed it, that Sodom and Gomorrah would be burnt with fire. And then in Abram, he was set at interceding. Oh, he has asked the Lord, started with a higher number, it's come down to 10, if there were 10 righteous. And how did Abram appear before the Lord? As a self-righteous Pharisee? No. We even read in verse 27, always ask the Lord not to be angry. Dust and ashes. Oh, Moses, in Genesis 32:33, after the Israelites have made the golden calf, then he has went up on the mount, and then he has pleaded, then he has interceded for that people, Lord. What wilt thou do with thy great name, willing to be blotted out, when that people may be saved? Joshua, when 36 soldiers were killed, when they have fought against Ai, interceding for the Israelites and for the honor of God's worthy name. Oh, David, when he has numbered the people, oh, what a blessing, that after the numbers have come in, that immediately his heart was smitten, that it did not take more than 9 months before he came into guilt. And then when he saw the angel with that outstretched arm, Lord, then he has confessed that he was guilty. What have these sheep done? Ah, think of the prophets. Jeremiah. Oh, Jeremiah 14. What an intercession. Lord, do it for thy name's sake, though our iniquities testify against us. Oh, Daniel. In Daniel 9. And with that intercession, then Daniel did not say, Lord, the Israelites are such an unbelieving and wicked people. No, I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord. Our forethought to be kings. And then we read further, and also, thus the instructors are stressing that the church, they receive all three offices, not only to be a prophet, but also to be a sacrificing priest and also a ruling king, distinguished but never separated, and also that with a free and good conscience, then the instructors, they come to the point concerning those kings. They are to fight a holy warfare. Paul has written to his spiritual son Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 3 to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then in the moment of regeneration, then the church is enrolled under the banner of King Jesus, and then the enemies of Christ, they become their enemies. And now as soldiers with the armor, and we read of that armor in Ephesians 6, the verses 12 through 18. That is an armor that Christ has merited for his church, and which he grants unto them, and teaches them how to war. But now the instructors, they have stressed that with a free and good conscience, I may fight against sin and Satan in this life. Is that now necessary for the instructors to add, with a free and a good conscience. What do you think, congregation? Then we see that the instructors, they had much self-knowledge. They were enrolled in that warfare. The warfare with the world, the devil, and above all with their flesh. Because the instructors are implying that there can also be soldiers who do not fight with such a clear and with such a tender conscience. When shall that be? Oh, Reverend Tiptoff, a very godly minister, and also could speak of the warfare with the devil. But concerning the flesh, then he has stated in a certain place how difficult it can be to pray against besetting sins that our flesh so crave. And therefore, the instructors with those words, then they are implying that the true Christian must watch and pray, and also with a clear conscience to pray the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then by renewal, concerning that kingly office, then Christ becomes so necessary and precious in his threefold office. Thus, with that free and good conscience, that nothing must not lie between. When there is sin, there must be confession, and there must be repentance. With a free and good conscience, I may fight. We read that word may. Also concerning that prophetical office, we have mentioned it, that I may confess his name. Of course, also implied concerning the priestly office of the Christian. But now the instructors, they have specifically added it by renewal. I may fight against sin and Satan in this life. And that now becomes the wonder for the child of God, who maketh thee to differ. That is the Lord, that by God's free and sovereign grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that I may be under that banner. Ah, those soldiers, they learn with Jehoshaphat in 1 Chronicles 20, verse 12, no might against these enemies, but our eyes are upon thee. They learn that they are so weak and frail. Then what a wonder that they may still be enrolled in the battle, still be under the banner. The wonder that the king does not tell them, such a prophet and such a priest and such a king, I can no longer use. People of God, does that at times become a wonder? that there may still be that may. 'Tis all given good. And to fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. We read on the great judgment day that the saints shall be taken up to be with Jesus, that they shall have part of the judgment, that they shall agree, and so reign with the King eternally. That is the portion that the Lord has laid away for his people. Why art thou called a Christian? Let us close in this evening with the question, what does our religion cost? How much does it cost? Or does it cost very little? The Bible, when we read of the church, oh, think of the time of persecution, the time of reformation, then it has cost them much, many even everything. They were given to sacrifice their lives. But now for the true Christian, what they are given to sacrifice. We read in the Bible of the reward. They shall not come short. Many times it shall be tried. And concerning the church, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Instruction for the children of God. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, beg earnestly that you may be enrolled under the banner of King Jesus. Then you shall be blessed. That is the way for the only comfort. And for the church, this for his honor, 1 Timothy 1 verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we may humbly thank thee, even with our lips, for another Lord's Day, and yet a few words to speak. And may it not be left on the bench. And may also this evening be for examination, for uncovering, for a shaming, and also for prayer. We may commence another week. We humbly ask thee that thou may graciously watch over us in the home, the mothers with the children, at work, on the way, at school. Remember students that are studying in higher institutions of learning. Well, there'll be a fiery wall round about them. Well, thou keep us from harm and danger. Take us under thy good care and thy kind protection. Oh, do keep us from an unexpected, but above all, from an unprepared death. Lord, well, thou bless the manifold labors also in the church in this week. Bless the catechism classes. Wilt thou remember the consistory when it hopes to meet? Help with all the visitations and bring us as a people together for a weekday service. Then by renewal, then we commend unto thee the Father, who is scheduled for surgery tomorrow morning. Wilt thou remember in thy mercy, grant now traveling mercies. Ah, grant a prayer for one another. Ah, Lord, grant a portion of that Canaanitish woman for the first time and by renewal unto us and our dear children. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 325, the first three stanzas. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart, and what follows, 325, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.